Get into it. So we've been talking about vanity for the past some odd weeks, going through the book of Ecclesiastes. Just a brief recap. There we go. Vanity, a life without God. So Ecclesiastes, written by, could be Solomon. The author is not named. Basically about wisdom and living wisely. Today I want to talk to you about, well, we're in chapter 9. We're going to go through the first 12 verses. If you have a Bible, we'll go into that real in a little moment, in a moment. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in the back over there on the table. And today, as I was studying it, the chapter kind of talks about life and death and really serious issues or heavy questions. And I think what we're going to explore today is God's judgment and his justice. And the main idea that I got out of it and I want to share with you is that we should enjoy all of life because God is Lord over all things, all creation, all peoples, at all times. And that means in the past, yesterday, when Ecclesiastes was written, 2 weeks ago, our own past, whatever happened in our past, good and bad, in the present, good and bad, and in the future, as God is Lord over everything in all time. And nothing, even if it's evil, escapes his oversight. The past few weeks, I'm going to not talk about the text a little bit, but I'm going to set it up. So the past few weeks, I've been in a play. It's a Shakespeare play called Othello, and we've been rehearsing really hard. And similarly, Othello, if you're not familiar with it, is kind of about similar themes about justice. So Othello is about this guy who's a Moor, who is, at that time, people from North Africa. So he's African-American, and the whole play is about racism. And it's funny because I'm watching all these people who are, like, fantastic actors, like, pretend to, like, stab each other or, like, spoiler alert, if you don't know the story, Othello kills his wife. And it's, like, it's very, like, scary because he, like, strangles her. And I'm just, like, the other night I was, like, underneath a table, like, oh, you know. And it's just, I just want to get into it. And it's cool seeing them act. Anyway, it is about injustice, and the play is basically Othello gets to that point because of a lie. And Othello is a general. He was a slave, and he worked his way up through the ranks to become like the leader of the armies of Venice. And the whole play, you see him go to this slow decline and almost become like inhuman, and to the point where he kills his own wife because of a lie. And as I was reading chapter 9, there's similar things where it talks about, like, getting in traps, being caught in snares. And, you know, as we go through it, I encourage you to think about, like, have you ever been caught in a trap or by people or even by yourselves, like, mentally, you know? Later on, I'll talk about actually something that happened last night that expresses my vanity and the foolishness of man involves a woman. Nothing crazy happened, but it's all, again, mental traps, you know. And the scripture we're going to talk about today kind of talks about life and death. And, you know, as the songs we were singing, you know, we as Christians are defined by Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And I love that last song. And like, we are defined by new life in Christ, and that's something we should rejoice in and remind ourselves all the time. It's the essence of the good news. So let's get into the text. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 1. It reads, "But all this I laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know. Both are before him. It is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As a good one is, so is a sinner. And he who swears is as he who shuns an oath." Verse 3, "This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event," talking about death, "happens to all. Also, the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and the madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. But he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. Go ahead, go eat your bread with joy and drink with wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love, all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life, and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol, the afterlife to which you're going. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would use me today to share your word with your people, that they may be edified and encouraged, and that we may learn and grow together and be changed more into your image. Amen. So the first few verses are kind of talking about death, and there's some weird things that are going on that are not dead lion, a live dog, you know. So the first few verses, obviously, he's talking about to like a Jewish audience at the time, who would sacrifice animals in the temple to worship God. So the point of the first few verses is basically that no matter if you're like a goody good shoe teacher suck up, you know, or you are kolohe and you just do whatever you want and mess everything up, both people come to the same end and they both die. So everyone dies. That's self-evident. And then it goes into, where is it? Oh, verse 4 is interesting. So, he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. So, I'll go through different cultural things before we start examining it more, just to understand. So, that like the time in that culture, like a dog is they would regard as like a scavenger. I mean, some dogs still scavenge today, but they would look down on dogs because they just eat trash and stuff, as opposed to like a lion. So basically that verse is like, it's better to be living than to be dead, because you can't do stuff if you're dead, basically. Later on, verse 8, it says, let your garments always be white, let not oil be lacking on your head. So at that time, you would wear white maybe for like a wedding or just every day if you're rich, just because it's really hot in the Middle East. And oil, I think some commentary said that, you know, oil kind of like sunscreen protects your place. But it's basically, the sentiment is that you're, be joyful. And then it goes into that, right? Enjoy the life with whom you love. So there's those few, that's some cultural things. So let's look into it more. First two verses, like I said, everyone dies at some point. And I think it's something maybe in our culture we don't always look at, like if there's, you know, Avengers or like supermodels and like commercials, whoa, Neutrogena, whatever, I don't know, some product is like, whoa, yeah, it's a constant reminder that we're living. And you know what's interesting is that it occurred to me that like all these things is kind of like tailored to us, and it's kind of like we forget that we're not going to live forever, you know? And sometimes I kind of live like that, where I'm just like, oh yeah, Sam's Club, I'm going to buy that bread, I'm going to buy all that meat, I'm going to buy whatever I want. And I don't really think long term. I think reminding ourselves that we will die kind of sobers us and makes us think more wisely. The part in the first two verses where it says that, you know, man doesn't know what's before him. One way to look at it is maybe like your life, you don't know what to expect the next day. Someone, maybe your best friend, could be like, yeah, man, you're awesome. Or he could be like, I'm out of here, we're no longer friends or something. So basically, we don't know what's going to happen. Or it could be talking about, we don't know what's before us in the sense that one day God will judge us, and some people will not be judged towards heaven and other people will be judged towards hell kind of thing. So there's that, that's what where I'm leaning towards, where that verse is talking more about at the end of our lives, at the end of time, God will judge all people kind of thing. So everyone dies at some point. One day we will die and be judged by God. The next few verses, like 3 through 6, the author talks about how life is better than death, and how like life is characterized by chaos and evil and madness. You know, I mean, if you pay attention to the news in the past few months, there's the shootings all over in the mainland. There's a war in Syria. There's I totally forgot about even the Kurds in northern Iraq. Like, everyone hates them and they don't care. And they're in the middle of all that ISIS stuff, right? So we don't need to go very far to agree that life is kind of nuts. But we have this comfort that God is sovereign. We know that nothing that happens is outside of his oversight. And so, and kind of like what I was talking about earlier about, like, you know, us kind of being gods, I think a lot of it has to do with us trying to want to be in control, you know? And I think that's kind of, or like being self-fulfilling. And that's not how we should be living, obviously, because we're not gods. If we were gods, though, we should worship ourselves because we'd be God, right? But we're not God. We're imperfect. And unfortunately, we can't, like, say, like, oh, universe, please give me a baked potato right now because I'm hungry. Or another hash brown. I had hash brown for breakfast. You know, I love hash browns. But the universe doesn't work like that. We're not God. We can't demand the universe to just bring something to us. Anyway, the point is, we're not God. And we should be aware of whatever we're worshiping as idols. And now we're going to go into the next section of the text, and just a reminder that now we're going to talk about life, that we should enjoy all things because God is over all things, which is the main idea. So the next part, verse 7 through 10, we should enjoy life that God has given. So our lives are gifts. And I remember reading something, someone says, like, which I like, is describe each of us as a gift to one another. And I think that's a good perspective to have. And there's the oil, have oil. We won't have oil on ourselves. We can have gel or something, white garments. Just the idea of living joyfully and living, like, you know what they say, carpe diem, seize the day, yeah. You know, we should do that. Not just because it says it, like, you know, like those signs on the walls, you know, excellent, yeah, you know. Like, we shouldn't do it just because it's up there and it's like, it's a positive thing to say. We should do it as Christians because we know that we can enjoy life because it's a gift from God, and we know that all things are from God, and we know where we're going. So I think that's something to, well, and also we have a responsibility to take care of creation, as Adam and Eve failed to do. Well, we all fail. Anyway, I'm getting off track. So living joyfully, oil, like plumeria-scented oil, whatever, sunscreen, wearing white, living joyfully, right? And there's a word in there that it's like, this is our portion, right? And I was always thrown off. I might be wandering again, but I was like, what is a portion? And it's like in several parts of the Bible. And different parts talk about it. It's kind of like an inheritance or like a territory. Another version, a way to translate it, is like an award. So basically, life is our reward or our portion. And we've heard these things before, like enjoying life. You know, backtrack, reverse, rewind. There's no more rewinding anymore before you return the videotape to Blockbuster. So sad. But we've heard these things before. Like in chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "And every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. So everything we have, understanding that it's given from God, not as a license to do whatever, like party, you know, whatever, like everything's a gift from God, woo, you know, with responsibility, right? We enjoy everything. And we know that another facet, like I said, because we know one day we'll be with God and in heaven, you know, as Christians, we can celebrate in this life because we know there's a future life and a greater portion, a greater inheritance from God that we have. One day we'll be with him and everything will be like remade and there's going to be new heavens and new earth and hopefully there's surfing in heaven, but there's no ocean. Apparently in Revelations it says that, but hopefully there's air surfing or something. Anyway, that's like the long-term picture, right? So God gives gifts. We enjoy it, use it, and steward it well. And in Colossians, actually, we didn't plan this, but Nathan read a part of Colossians. And I'm reading the part like right after that. So what Nathan said earlier was like, our lives are hidden in Christ, right? And then goes on to say, we should encourage one another as a church to sing spiritual songs and stuff and learn from one another. And then it goes into verse 23, tying to this text in Ecclesiastes. Whatever you do, work heartily, like Ecclesiastes says, right? Whatever you have, work at it to the best of your ability. Seize the day. As for the Lord and not for men, working as if God is your employer, right? Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You're serving Jesus. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there's no partiality. So there's kind of like that divide though. Like Ecclesiastes is kind of like, well, everyone's going to die. And then Colossians like, well, everyone's going to die, but people are going to get judged too. So there's that difference. So side note, like when you read your Bible, there's all these weird things that seem to like fight with each other. But I think that's a good place to be asking questions like, why did you put this here, God? Like, why are you in control or are you not in control? And I think that's a, when you're reading your Bible by yourselves or with friends, like that's a good thing to be wrestling with because you're asking questions and engaging with the text, kind of like what we're doing today. The last two verses, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, it goes into these kind of Proverbs things in verse 11 and 12. And basically, it's saying kind of something we already know, that life and death are unpredictable. You know, strength, there's a quote I like from when I was studying about this part. And it says, strength, all these things that were listed in there, strength, wisdom, speed, discernment, learning, they're only valuable as far as they are ordered or by God. So like, you know, like Samson in the Old Testament, he was super strong. He got wrecked at the end. You know, Solomon was super wise, given by God, had a bunch of wives, wandered from God, wrecked at the end. And you know, like the author is saying, you know, there's all these things that are happening and we don't know what's going to happen. But we, what we do know and what we can place our hope on is God. If everything else like gets messed up, we know that God is a constant, an anchor, and he will be there. So questions to think about, how do you view death and how do you view life? What do you think about them? You think about God judging at the end. And you know, I want to share a short story about, you know, a few years ago, I was going through this like ministry class, Bible class or something. And in the middle of it, like I got news that one of my friends like suddenly like died. And at the time, he was from here and he was like a fantastic drummer. He's like one of the best drummers ever. And like jazz drumming. And him and his wife met at New Hope Christian College. And then it was pretty cool because I was like visiting the school when I was thinking about going there. And then they were there at the same time. And then that was before they got married. So I was like, oh, that's cool. And then the wife, she plays piano. So I was like, oh, that's cool. They're both musicians. And then anyway, fast forward to a few years later, they got married. And then they moved to Malaysia, where the wife is from, to serve as missionaries because her parents they're from there and they're pastors there. And then in the middle of the ministry school, found out that he died, and then it was just like really crazy. And like a week later, like we reorganized the class to like go to. Oh, we didn't reorganize it, but after class we went to the funeral, and it's just very like. It was one of the saddest moments in my life was, and it's very actually embarrassing because like I was bawling and like, everyone was like praying and like I was like, God, why? And when I look back on it, it was like, why was I so sad? You know, like if I really trusted God and I really, you know, trusted Brandon's faith, I knew he's in a better place at that moment, you know, right now. So. I think I would say, and I say that because I would encourage you, like, if you have similar sadness or grievances like that, to be encouraged that God knows what he's doing, even if things seem out of whack or out of control, especially with deaths. Deaths are very sad, but any situation that you're in, small or big, God is still on his throne, and we should take comfort in that. For the believer, there's hope in that eternal life, and we can take comfort in that. For those who do not believe in God, ultimately, life ends here, and while it is fun to just do whatever, there's no promise of something after. So if you're here and you don't believe in Christ, I encourage you to examine the gospel and ask people questions. And if you know people who are non-believers, well, you all do, encourage you to share this hope that we have in Jesus. Because who else can save us? You know, this is what we're centered on. And, you know, that's something I was asking myself earlier today or this morning, yesterday too. Like, I think about it from time to time. I should be thinking about it more every day. Like, do I really believe the gospel is literally what means good news? Do I believe it's, like, what my life is centered around, you know? Because sometimes I act like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to take care of my car. I need to change my brakes. Whatever. I'll just do it later. You know, that kind of stuff. That's a silly example, but, you know, do I really take life seriously? Am I really thankful that God has given me this gift? Am I sharing this redemption, this salvation with other people? Because if I'm not, and I don't mean this in an accusatory way, I'm just thinking out loud in reflection, where ultimately is my allegiance, or who am I ultimately worshiping? Sometimes if you guys could have the perspective of the Holy Spirit or God and you watch my life, sometimes you'd be like, that's weird. That's weird. That's funny, but that's not harmful. But, you know, something to ponder about. We must realize and remind ourselves regularly we have violated the perfect laws of a perfect God. For those of you who were baptized, remember that we confessed faith in Christ, that we were baptized into his death and also into his life. And we should make war on sin. And every day we should be reminded that we're being changed more and more into God's image, which is pretty cool. We don't even know like how to do it, you know, but we read God's word. We should also never forget that the penalty for sin is death, as we've been talking about today. And so, as we all know, a perfect life was given in exchange for our imperfect ones, right? This is the gospel, the life and death of Jesus. And after he died, he was resurrected. He ascended, conquering death, going to his Father's throne, atoning for sin. And speaking through his Spirit, he still speaks and guides us today by his word. So for like application stuffs, we should pay attention to God's word. Tying old, like what I was saying earlier too about like, do I really believe this is good news? Do I believe the gospel really? I think if we're living lives or we're confessing that we believe in Jesus and we do believe in him and we trust him, we should also be paying attention to what he says, right? Like for example, like, right, like if my mom or my dad is like, Sean, go take out the trash. Okay. PlayStation. You know, all right, yeah, I'll do it later, you know. Does that really show that love towards my father or my mother? Not really. I think in the same way, we should be paying attention to what God is saying through his word. Also, repenting of this idolatry, like we were saying earlier about, you know, worshiping ourselves or being in control of every single thing. We should just let it go, and stop grappling and huffing and puffing so much. And we shouldn't stop pursuing holiness in God, but we should realize that God is holding us in his hands, and he's embracing us in mercy, and he's sustaining us in his grace. And I think that's something we should remind ourselves all the time. How ridiculous it is to believe that we're powerful, we're gods, when we are not. We're not Jesus. But we can share his love as ambassadors. Think of Brandon's story when I recite this next verse, or your own personal hurts. Grieve when you need to. There are many, and be angry at injustices like ISIS, or if you're like me, at Othello being killed, you know, in a pretend play. But also stand in awe of God's amazing grace. So think about these things. When I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15, 56 through 57, which if you've been to Dane's house is like painted on the wall. And it reads this: the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. One day, death and sin will be no more, and we will be with Christ in a new heavens and a new earth in his fully established kingdom, which is described in the book of Revelation, you know, where all wrongs will be made right, every tear is wiped away. It says that in there. It's a cool picture. And every knee and every bow, every knee will bow to our Lord. And he will deliver his justice. How then should we live in light of all this? As I said, pay attention to God's word. Obey it. In growing in our knowledge of God, and sharing it with others. Gospel discipleship mission, which is what Victory IA is about. May the Holy Spirit lead us in wisdom and perseverance in paying attention to his word and obeying it. And I'll end with the story from last night. So last night, I was volunteering to usher for a place. So I was ripping tickets and stuff. And afterwards, people were going to hang out. And I was like, maybe I should go home. I'm preaching tomorrow. That would be responsible. But I stayed out a little later than I expected to, which was not wise. And the reason being, because there's a girl, and she's kind of cute. And so what happened was, I parked in Chinatown. There's a point to this, by the way, but I parked in Chinatown Municipal, and I had to leave by midnight, right? So we went to this new pizza place by 4th Street Mall. And then it's like, okay, I'm thinking about leaving, or maybe I'll hang out. So I didn't go home. I just decided to move my car from the municipal to Harbor Court since it's 24 hours to hang out with a girl I don't really know very well, but I think is attractive. And I switched the parking lot. I ran back to where we were hanging out, and then she was, guess what? She was leaving. And then I was like, this is so foolish. And then I was like, but there's still other people hanging out that I knew that were actor friends. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll hang out with them. And I literally was walking across the street, and then I was like going back and forth like, what am I going to do? Oh, maybe I'll do this. Nah, I'll go home. I'm tired. I should prepare. Nah, I don't want to hang out with people and share how miserable I feel. Nah, that's not good. Anyway, afterwards, I decided to go home. It's like 12:30. And, you know, outside of Harbor Court, it's like Nimitz and I forget the Smith or something. Anyway, the parking structure I was parking at, there's like a huge fountain thing. And there's a little, like, water thing. And there's stones and stuff. And so I was like, I just feel like lying down right here, you know? Like, I'm, like, this much Hawaiian. I can just do whatever I want, you know, in my silliness, you know? But I lied down, and then I was, like, by the rocks and then the water, and I looked up, and I was like, and I feel like a homeless guy, you know? And then I was just, like, looking up, and I was like, oh, I don't care. And then it's, like, looking at the stars, and then the building is really nice, too. And I was like, dang, you know? Like, I didn't get to go camping with everyone when they went last month. So a few of us at the church went camping last month. Anyway, so I didn't, and I like being in, you know, outdoors and stuff, but I don't really get to because of my work schedule or because I'm lazy. So I'm looking up, and there's stars, and then there's a cool building next to a mountain, and I'm like, wow, like I feel really relaxed. Not like daytime, summer, like doing nothing, watching YouTube relax, but like, you know, like, wow, like praise God, like I, like stars are awesome. There's no one bothering me. If they do bother me, I have my own, like, knife for protection. So I'm, like, just, like, really content, you know? And, like, I was just reflecting, like, wow, like, I didn't even need to, like, hang out with a girl to find contentment, you know? I could just, like, lie down by Harbor Course and look over the stars, you know? So on that note, I think, like, what the text was saying about life and death being unpredictable and, you know, things that can dishearten us. But I think Jesus says it best. And one of my favorite scriptures is this that ties into this, that we should have no worries, you know. Matthew 6, verse 25, Jesus is teaching about all these things. And he's changing people's minds about what people would traditionally believe about the law and Jewish, like, customs and practices. And in the midst of it, at verse 25, he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let us pray.